and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. How good is our God? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand of praise in the house this morning. We serve a great God. Amen. So, so good. Well, great to see you this morning. And if we haven't had the chance to say hello to each other yet, my name's Brad, and my wife Alison and I, we are the pastors of this amazing church, and we are moving from strength to strength in Jesus' name. So it's great to see you this morning. And just to echo Pastor Alison's words, if it is your first time or you haven't been to our church in quite some time, we'd love to meet you in our guest lounge, which is located just on the other side of these doors. On the other side of these doors is the most beautiful guest lounge you've seen in the history of humanity. Tim Tams. And you know why? Because Kate Lorisella, she's in there this morning, polishing, tidying everything up. And it looks absolutely fantastic. Great Christmas tree in there. But more importantly, friendly people who want to make you feel super, super welcome. So come along. We'd love to say hello to you, give you a cup of coffee, and of course a Tim Tam as well, which you're allowed to because it's now December 2nd. And, you know, you can just eat that little bit more. Can I have a good amen? There you go, just a few people. Some of you are like, please don't say that. That's very bad for me. Awesome. Well, we've had a great season in our church. And behind the scenes, just some of the things to share with you that's been going on. At this time of the year, we have a lot of schools and dance concerts and so on who are hiring out our facility during the week. And so Pastor Karen and Jared and Fallon and some of the other crew have been working so hard. We literally in the last month in our church have had thousands of people come through our facility midweek. And so there's a lot that's kind of gone on. And so thank you for initiating that clap, whoever you were, because we really need to say thank you to Karen and Jared's probably running around and also to Fallon as well. There you are, Fallon. And these guys have done an amazing job because, you know, some of the things that we have to do is clear the stage, reset everything, clear it again, reset everything, make sure the facility is clean, especially when you have children in the facility. Sometimes, you know, stuff can kind of go everywhere, especially when there's hundreds of them. So well done, Karen and Jared and Fallon. You guys have done a terrific job and we love you and we honor you and we are very, very grateful for all that you've done in Jesus' name. And you've gone over and above, which we deeply appreciate. So, so, so good. And the good thing is, too, is with that, is that sometimes, you know, for some of those families who come into our facility, it's the only time that they may walk into a church or come to our church, and they come in and our team give them a 5-star experience. And so it makes a great impression for our church on their hearts because you never know when they have a need and they choose to visit us. So well done, team. You guys have been absolutely amazing. Of course, you would have seen in Horizon News that we have Carols in the Shire coming up on December 16th. And of course, Carols in the Shire is not only an opportunity for you to sing some of your favorite songs, to hear Karen sing that. What's that song called, Karen? Mary's Boy. that's the one. And so it's a great opportunity to invite your friends. And so one of the things that we've done is we have our Carols in the Shire invitational cards that are available. And so come on, mums and dads, and start to invite your friends, invite your work colleagues. Those packs of 10 are available for you as you exit the building today. There'll be people having those available for you so you can take them, invite your friends, and it's going to be an absolutely terrific night on December 16th. And of course, Christmas Day service is just around the corner. It's a 1-hour service, 9:30 to 10:30, and our team are going to bless you. And again, a great opportunity to invite your family and your friends to church. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God today. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read the story of the wise men Any wise men in the house this morning? Well, okay, Tim, you're the only wise one amongst us. Any wise men in the house this morning? Amen. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. I'll give you a second just to find that. If you don't have your Bibles this morning, the verses are available for you on the screen. The other thing I do need to tell you while you're turning to the passage this morning as well, and that is, if you forgot your gift, you can give tonight, so it's not too late. So no need for anyone to feel like they were unable to participate. Tonight's another opportunity for you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, are you ready? Yes. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, can you say amen? Amen. Of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east. Wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem. Now, the context of the story is simply this. In the Old Testament, we have what were referred to as the Magi, or we interpret it as wise men in our Bibles. What these men were, these group of men were, is that they were philosophers, were researchers, they studied sacred writings, dream interpretation. We see that in the book of Daniel. And they basically, their pursuit was to gain knowledge and to gain wisdom. So these wise men were researching, they were studying. And in their studies of Old Testament writings, they came across this concept or this thought of a Messiah being born in Bethlehem. And so in their pursuit of knowledge, they went on a journey to find this Messiah. And that's where we pick up the story. Verse 2 says, they came to Jerusalem, the capital city, because they believe if a king was to be born, he would be born in the capital. Goes on to say, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now we have a star, wise men. They see a star, they've come to worship him. Think about this. Light from the stars, of course, can take up to thousands of years to actually reach our eye. So at the right time in history, that star appeared, right time, right place. In eternity, God had planned this, that at that very moment, these men would see that light that had come from the star, that move their hearts. God's timing is always perfect. Amen. Verse 3 goes on to say, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Now we're going to explain that a little bit more. And all Jerusalem with him. Now watch this. He's troubled and all Jerusalem is troubled. Goes on to say in verse 4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now watch the nature of the troubled heart that he has, that he gathers all the religious leaders together, not just some. He gathers all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now Herod is threatened. He's threatened because he believes himself to be the king. So if another king is coming, that's a threat to his rulership. Now, he's threatened not just because that there is a king to be born, the king of the Jews, which potentially might replace him. He's threatened because of what he sees. Now, the common interpretation is that there were three wise men. But if you actually read the account of Scripture, it doesn't say three wise men, it says wise men. Tradition says three because there were three gifts. But the truth is that there was probably an entourage of wise men. Hence why he was troubled. Hence why all of Jerusalem was troubled, because of the magnitude of what they saw. Hence why Herod got all of the chief priests and all of the scribes, because he saw an entourage. And this entourage, these wise men also would have brought with them guards and also servants And they would have traveled literally for weeks on end to get to Jerusalem. This was an entourage of wise men, guards, and servants that came to Jerusalem. Hence why all of Jerusalem was troubled by what they had seen. And Herod thought to himself, I need to do something about this because this king that they're talking about is about to replace me. Now, Isaiah prophesies about this. He prophesies about this entourage, not just three. Now, I love our nativity scene at the front, but we didn't have space to have an entourage. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, watch this. It says, vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The camels of Midian and Ephah, the people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshipping the Lord. So I want you to grab a hold of the magnitude of what Herod's seeing. It's not just three wise men, it's an entourage. Something has come and made an imprint on his heart. He's threatened by what he sees. Are you with me this morning? Let's keep going. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. So they said to him, that is, the scribes and the Pharisees, because he asked the question, where will this king be born? Because he wants to do something about it. Hence why he killed all the children, the little baby boys, 2 years old and under, evil man, threatened by what he sees. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. This is his kind of way of going on a stealth mission. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So now the star that was in the east led them to a specific town, Bethlehem, to a specific house where the young child Jesus was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, verse 11, it says, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. How good is this? They fell down and worshipped him. Now, you imagine this scene. This is an entourage. It's not three. This is lots. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. And here's our sermon today. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Those of you who are mums in the room will remember the time, or like Marissa, about to engage, in a time when you were in hospital, you gave birth, family, friends would come to you and they would give you and your child gifts. Some of the gifts that you received potentially was maybe a box of nappies. It always works. perhaps it was clothes, dummies or pacifiers if you're from the US. Maybe a beautiful blanket set. Maybe a rocker. Maybe a sleeping sack of some sort. A booster seat. They are common gifts, things that are useful for you as a mom to, of course, raise up your child, bless your child, and hopefully something for you on the side as a mom, like a trip to Hawaii or something like that. And all the mums to be said, amen. But in this account, we see three gifts that are given that seem to be impractical. Three gifts that, what is an infant going to do with gold, frankincense, Calvin Klein perfume or myrrh. Now, if they had come and they had given practical gifts, it makes sense. Why would you come to a child and give a child gold, frankincense, or myrrh? It's irrational. It's something that you would not do. Now, you're not going to definitely say no to the gold. Come on, someone, help me this morning. Marissa, I'm helping you this morning. You need to say amen. You're not going to say no to the gold. But I don't know at this point in time, a child that was born where somebody went to the hospital and said, I'm bringing a gift of gold. It's unheard of. Neither am I aware of a child being given myrrh, which is a beautiful incense, a very expensive, the most expensive incense of the day. I don't know a child receiving the most expensive perfume or incense or myrrh. I looked at this and it fascinated me because I thought to myself, these wise men had been on a journey for weeks. Some Bible teachers tell us that these wise men, because they came from the east, traveling on camels, traveling on foot, some Bible scholars tell us that they potentially traveled for at least 2 to 3 months to eventually make their way to find this child, baby Jesus. And so in this journey, out of all things that they brought to the child, they bring something that mum can't use unless they cashed it in. Dad can't use. It's an impractical gift. And I explored this and I looked at this and I want to ask myself the question, why gold, why frankincense, and why myrrh? These gifts are impressive. I don't know if you've been impressed lately by something, impressed by someone, impressed by maybe customer service, impressed by someone's attitude. These gifts and this experience that Mary and Joseph, they had on this day, it was impressive. The Bible says that they fell down and they worshipped. Remember the picture, this was not three people. This was an entourage of people who fell down and worshipped. It is impressive. So they come, they worship, or fell down, worship, and they present these gifts. These gifts are significant. Giving a child gold, how many of you know that's significant? This is something that's significant. It's spiritual in nature. And in fact, these gifts, we could say, are prophetic. They have a prophetic meaning attached to them. And they, in fact, speak to his life's destiny. They speak to a redemptive journey to his purpose that this child would go on. Now, you imagine Mary, you imagine Joseph. They don't know these people. They're not family. They're not a cousin who's just really happy that Mary and Joseph, are having a baby. These are unknown people who've traveled for weeks, traveled for months possibly, an entourage. They fall down, they worship, and they give these impressive gifts. What was going on in the hearts of Mary and Joseph? Who is this child? Why would an entourage come? Now, if you're in hospital and an entourage comes to your hospital, number one, they probably won't let them into the hospital. But there has to be something impressive that has happened. These wise men understood something. They had discovered something about this child, this boy, Jesus Christ. And we're going to go on a journey today to unpack the three gifts that speak to us about the redemptive purpose or the destiny of this child. Number one, they give to the child, to the young child, gold. Gold is mentioned 385 times in Scripture, more than any other metal. It's considered to be the most precious of all metals. It was considered an emblem of wealth. Gold was symbolized with royalty and associated with kings. Now, we have four Gospels, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each Gospel has a certain emphasis. John emphasizes Jesus as the Son of God. Luke emphasizes him as the Son of Man. Mark emphasizes Jesus as the servant of God. But Matthew, his emphasis is that Jesus Christ is the promised king. Hence why the story of the wise men is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. Because Matthew wanted to emphasize this experience. Matthew wanted to emphasize an entourage of people coming, bringing gold, because this is the promised king. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it tells us that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. These wise men, they came with gold because they wanted to recognize him and make a statement that Jesus Christ is king. You see, goods and commodities rise and fall. But how many of you know that gold seems to hold its value? Gold has also become the universal language of love. Gold is commonly used to make wedding rings, and it serves as a symbol of love. And so here these wise men, they bring gold as a symbol of his rulership, that this king is not there to dominate or dictate. This king rules by love. It's uncorrupted. It's long-lasting. It's a gift where his heart does not go up and down for his people. It's a gift that holds his its value. It speaks to his character that he will not rule over human hearts from a throne, but his heart is to rule from the picture of the cross. Gold speaks of his kingship, but it also speaks of his heart. These wise men recognize we need to bring gold because we recognize he is a king, but they recognize this incorruptible value of his heart, that he does not waver in his love for you. He does not waver in his desire to bless you. He does not go up and down, but it is a symbol of his love. Can you say amen? They bring another gift, and that gift is the gift of frankincense. Now, frankincense essentially is an incense. It's a beautiful smell. Think of the most beautiful perfume you've ever smelled. Frankincense is better. It's very expensive. Frankincense appears in the Bible 17 times, and it is almost associated with one thing, and that is for priestly service. Frankincense is what was used by the priests to burn incense in the tabernacle. But its primary purpose was this. Its primary purpose is when priests would be anointed and inaugurated and ordained into the priesthood. Frankincense was brought because these wise men recognized that this man was our high priest. Frankincense was used because it was there to make a symbolic statement that he is not only King of Kings, but he is our representative before the Father. Now, we talk about the high priest, and everyone's like, amen, high priest. But what on earth does a high priest do? It sounds spiritual, but it's good for us to have a bit of an understanding of the role of the high priest because it helps us to understand who Jesus is and what his role is. Job made a prophetic declaration. Job chapter 9, verse 33, he said, if only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. The role of the high priest was to be the mediator between God and the people of Israel. In other words, he was the one who would stand in the gap. The high priest would oversee the responsibility of all other priests. You are a royal priesthood, and we have a high priest who oversees the responsibilities of all priests. the high priest would determine what was truth and what was false. We have a high priest. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The role of the high priest was to offer sacrifices and atone for the sins of the people. If the high priest sinned, he brought guilt on the whole congregation of Israel. We have a high priest who is sinless. We have a high priest who has no sin, that he has no stain. Our high priest is the perfect Lamb of God. His name is Jesus Christ. If the high priest was without sin, there would be blessing. If the high priest was misbehaving, there would be a curse. We have blessing because our high priest is the perfect Lamb of God without sin or stain. Therefore, as the people of God, we should expect blessing. The high priest would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. He would intercede on behalf of the people. We have a high priest who intercedes for us. He prays for us. He declares blessing over us. He stands before the Father and he says to the Father, Father, I love these people. Father, I care for these people. Father, I believe in Jesus' name today that your high priest, he is standing right now before the Father and he is declaring blessing over you, blessing over your family, blessing over your future. He is our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the perfect high priest. In reaching to God, he can relate to the Father's will. In reaching to humanity, he understands our weaknesses. He sympathizes with us. He understands our pain. He understands our struggles. He understands our sufferings. And he is able to connect us between the Father's will and the Father's heart and the things that we are going through. He is the perfect high priest. Can you say amen? They brought gold. They brought frankincense. And last but not least, the most unusual of all the gifts, they brought myrrh. What is myrrh? Well, myrrh was used ultimately, kind of curious, maybe insulting in some ways. Myrrh was used to embalm a dead body. I can understand the gold. I can understand frankincense. But from Mary's perspective, you are giving me myrrh for a dead body? How does that make sense? We see in the scriptures, John chapter 19, verse 39, and Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Myrrh was there to anoint a dead body. Gold makes sense. Frankincense, well, maybe Mary thought he was going to be a priest, but myrrh, you're giving me myrrh for a dead body? I mean, if the man was a little bit older and it was his 95th birthday, well, I don't know if you'd give that gift, but it'd be a little bit more palatable. This is a young child and you are bringing myrrh. It's like giving a one-year-old a license. Why? Got years to go. And they bring myrrh because why? They were prophesying his destiny, that he was the only child ever born whose destiny it was to die. Well, Herod, he recognizes this, hence why there's such a hostility, hence why he later commands that all male children 2 years old and under would be killed by the sword. Just absolute destruction. The chief priests, if you look at it from their perspective, they were the ones who actually told Herod the scriptures. They declared this is where he would be born. This is what would happen, location. But they were indifferent. Herod was hostile. the chief priests and the scribes had knowledge, but they were indifferent. There was no action to what they knew. The wise men, however, they realized that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that this is the Messiah who would give his life for the sake of lost humanity. Now, the wise men, they go and they fall down, they worship, they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They have a dream, and in this dream, God warns them. He says, don't go back to Herod. If you have a look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now watch this. Herod acted with hostility. The chief priests and the scribes, they were indifferent. However, the wise men, they went back a different way. When you truly recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, you'll never go back the same way. You'll always go back a different way. Come on, say amen. When we worship him for who he really is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our high priest standing in the gap on our behalf. When God, our Father, sees Jesus, he sees us. Amen. Perfect, matchless, stainless Lamb of God, our high priest. Can you say amen? But he is also the one who came and gave of his life for us. And the wise men recognized this and they went out a different way. When you truly encounter Jesus this Christmas, it's not about all the wonderful things of kind of in the shopping centers. And I love all that and I think it's great. And I'm in the habit, if I hear a Christmas carol in a shopping center, I'll personally contact the manager of the shopping center and I say, I walked through your shops today. I heard a Christmas carol. I just want you to know it was absolutely magnificent. Can you say amen? I don't say, well, I was washed in the blood of the Lamb today and I came to your shopping center. I just no. Thank you so much for the Christmas carol. Because it's speaking to us. It's communicating to us. The meaning of Christmas is an entourage that came who recognized this is King. This is our high priest. This would be the one who would give his life to save humanity. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can you say amen? They recognize him as King. They recognized him as high priest. They recognized him as the one who would give of his life. And they went out to their country another way. Our challenge is this Christmas is not to get so caught up in all the marketing and all the bits and pieces that go on. Our challenge this Christmas is to see Jesus, to see him in all of his glory, to see him in all of his splendor, knowing that he wants to bless you, love on you, encourage you, lift you up from the miry clay today. That's the God that we serve. And so I want to challenge you. Some people act with hostility. Oh, get rid of Christmas. We need to say happy holidays. What's happy holidays? Like Christmas. Some people are indifferent. They have a knowledge. They have an understanding, just like the chief priests and the scribes. We want to be like the wise men who recognize him for who he is. Can you say amen? We'll fall down, worship him, our hearts are changed, and we go out different. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, maybe, at the start of this Christmas season, you have not at this point in time had an opportunity to receive the free gift, the greatest gift, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the most famous verse in the Word of God is, for God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? He gave his one and only Son. It is the greatest gift ever given to humanity. It's a gift that God has shared with you. Your goal is to open up your heart and to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, and to follow him with all your heart. He loves you today. He cares about you. He wants to give you a brand new start. It's important that you know him as king today. Do you know why? Because kings have the power and the authority to make decrees, rules, and regulations. Do you know what his rule is? Do you know what his regulation is? Do you know what his decree is? His decree is that if you will choose to open up your heart to him, he will change your life and you will never, ever be the same. He is King of Kings. Today we're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives. I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.